remain standing, let us pray. Dear loving and gracious Lord God, we desire the warmth of your love, and our hearts and minds long for the light of your truth. Cause us to grow in love so that the dawn of your coming finds us rejoicing. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know whether any of you have noticed, but this last week, the darkness starts creeping in about 4 o'clock. Has anybody noticed that? And you're going to ask, why is that? It's because, and this is for you, Ron, I was thinking about you when I was writing this. We are approaching the winter solstice, which marks the exact moment when half of the earth is lifted the farthest away from the sun. Did y'all know that? We know it now. And it usually happens on December 21 or 22nd at the exact same second all around the earth. Because less sunlight reaches the earth, the winter solstice is also called, does anybody know, the shortest day of the year. But the good news is that every day after the winter solstice, we will reach the day, the day will be a little longer until we reach the day with the most hours of sunlight, the summer solstice. Right, summer solstice, yeah, I didn't need to do this, which is either June 20th or June 22nd. So, although the winter solstice begins with the shortest day of the year, it brings the promise of more daylight ahead. So, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we celebrate a spiritual solstice of sorts. We are experiencing, in Advent, a kind of darkness, of waiting, of stillness, of an anticipation that the light of the world, eternal love, is coming down. God in Christ is breaking into human history to set those crooked roads straight and to set the captives free. Divine light coming into the world, and the darkness cannot overcome it, because darkness never has the last word. Darkness can never destroy the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love born in a young Jewish girl. Mary, whose only response when she is told the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. He didn't question it. There wasn't any resistance. There was nothing but a simple yes. Your will be done. And deciding to say yes to God does not mean that we're not afraid. It just means we are not willing to let our fear stop us. We are not willing to let fear keep us locked away from the light of the world. And saying yes to the angel of Christmas means that we are one of Mary's people. We are one of Mary's people. We are willing to be a bearer of Christ in our time and in our culture. Mary is given another gift. The angel shares that she will be not alone in the journey. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but now she is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. And shortly after this incredible divine encounter and equally incredulous news about her cousin, Mary went with haste to visit Elizabeth. And it is during this family reunion, in a simple hello, a greeting, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and becomes the first person to acknowledge the coming of the Messiah. What does she say? Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Jumped. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Luke 1:43. Hearing words of affirmation and encouragement, the anxiety abates. The confusion collapsed. The doubts disappear. And Mary knows in her spirit that what has just happened to her was the real thing. Two women, cousins, trusted and honored by God to be given the heads up that the Lord God was on his way. And nothing would stand in the way of God's plan to save his people, to have love come down and live as one of us. The moment her people had been waiting for so long had finally arrived. Because God had heard the cries and longings of his people, and the work of salvation continued. And like an overflowing fountain, the young girl sings a song of praise. She is unable to contain the hope, the peace, the joy, and bursts into a song of love. The song of Mary's heart, heralding that love is coming down, is known as the Magnificat, from the opening words in Latin. Magnificent anime means mea dominum. Want me to say that again? Who's good in Latin? Magnificent anima mea dominium. How'd I do? Pretty good. My heart magnifies the Lord. It's images and references to scripture from Genesis, from Job, from the Psalms, from Isaiah. And it tells the story of a great love that has its expression in a yet unborn baby. And Mary, steeped in Jewish scripture, passionately expresses her love, adoration, and worship that God has singled out a nobody from Nazareth to accomplish his mighty purpose. My spirit, she says, rejoices in God my Savior, for he's looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant, and surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me, and he has shown mercy from generation to generation. God chose Israel in the beginning, not because it was a mighty nation, but because they were least of all nations. He chose Moses, a child of slaves, to deliver his people. He chose Gideon, who was the least member of the smallest clan of the smallest tribe of Israel. He chose Samuel when he was just a boy, and David the youngest and most likely in his family. And he chose Mary. Because God chooses the least so that no human being could ever boast in him or herself, thinking that their strength, their wisdom, their beauty, their attractiveness, their intelligence could bring this about. The glory and honor always, always belong to God. And Mary's love song proclaims the God of justice and mercy. See, it doesn't matter what the world thinks, because God has already acted. He has already scattered the proud. He has already pulled down the mighty from their thrones. He has already lifted up the poor, filled the hungry with good things, and set the rich away empty. Mary is declaring, in spite of her own circumstances, an impoverished, pregnant, single mother whose community will judge her harshly. She could sing and praise God because she was carrying the vision of a changed society, where all wrongs would be righted, where every moment of injustice will be corrected, where the oppressed, the homeless, the addicted, the forgotten will be lifted up, and those who have been exalted and elevated themselves will be humbled. She could sing this reality because she knew the promises of God. The promises made to who? Her ancestor Abraham and his children forever. The promise found in Genesis 12 and 17 established an everlasting covenant with Abraham to bless all the nations through him. He would be their God and cause them to dwell in their land in peace. And this is our hope as disciples of Jesus Christ. Hope anchored in the confidence of God's promises. Yep. Life will throw curveballs at us. Circumstances will seem to be hopeless. Chaos may come and go, but God's promises will be fulfilled. Jesus affirms that promise in Matthew 25:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And Mary's song of love is evidence that the incarnation, the eternal word in her womb, that life-giving word became flesh, a human being, Emmanuel, God with us, God among us, and God is one of us. And here's the amazing news. God has also handpicked and personally selected you and I for that same purpose. That same word made flesh seeks to continue being expressed through willing and responsive men and women, boys and girls, young and old, dwelling within containers of divine hope, joy, peace, and love. Our bodies, yours and mine, especially created to be a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, the sacred vessel through which God can become known in our homes, in our families, in our schools, in our communities, every place where love and move and have our being. And so again, this Advent, Jesus comes to us, the least likely in the least likely of places, and simply says to each one of us, "Greetings, favored ones. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, for nothing is impossible with God." Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us pray. Awaken us, O Lord God, with your grace for the future. Fulfill our desires and kindle our hearts by your Spirit, that being filled with the oil of your grace, we may shine as bright lights at the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.